Okay, today is August 10th, 2020. It is 9:03 a.m. Board is now in session. The board's mission is to protect the health and welfare and safety of the public who seek to use the services of the nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institution Administrators, Assisted Living Facility Managers, and to the general public that the board will hold their regular board meeting, which is open to the public today, August 10th, 2020, to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. And again, the time is now 9:04 a.m. While meetings remain open to the public, telephonic participation is strongly encouraged during the declared COVID-19 emergency. Face coverings are required while in the building. Instructions for public to call in, dial 1-888-740-4219, enter 420845 pound. Persons with disability may request a reasonable accommodation such as sign language interpreter by contacting Alan Emig at 602-364-2273 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange for the accommodation. Board's president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda except for matters scheduled at a specific time. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting, and board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0383, and may hold executive session for the purposes of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38431.0382. Executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or the word resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from other consent agenda items. Board will review, discuss, and may take actions only on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for August the 10th, 2020, regular board meeting is as follows. Roll call, Al.
Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Ehrman?
Here.
Okay. Call to the public. Persons who wish to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they're here and that they wish to speak to the board. Each person who wishes to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons pursuant to ARS 38431.02H. The board may discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to discuss, directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for a future discussion at a future board meeting. At this time, is there anyone who is not listed on the agenda that wishes to address the board? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Approval of minutes. The board review, consideration, and action on approval of minutes for July the 13th, 2020 regular board meeting. I'll move that we approve.
Second.
Charles and Susan. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is going to be complaint cases. And I would just remind everyone that the name of the resident is confidential information. In public session, board members, staff, and the licensee shall refer to the resident as resident or use the resident initials. 5A, consent agenda to not open a complaint investigation on facility manager that's related to an ADHS enforcement action. Items 2 through 4, did any board members see anyone that they would like to pull out and address? Any?
I'll make a motion to cases on Tuesday, item 4.
You were cutting out. You want to repeat that one?
All right, this is Ken. I'll make a motion to not open a complaint on items 2, 3, and 4.
Perfect. Thank you, Ken. I second the motion.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up are complaint cases. Item B5, 20-12, involving Administrator Ariel Lev. Mr. Lev, are you on the line?
Yes, good morning. I'm on the line.
Okay, good morning. Stand by, please, while we get set up.
This is David Cohen. I'm Mr. Lev's lawyer.
Appreciate it. There's a lot of background noise. I'm going to ask again if everyone could please mute their phone.
Take us off speaker.
Feedback in the
please take us off of your speakerphone and mute your lines.
Okay, Charles, this is Wally. I'm on and I'm muting.
Oh, good morning, Miss Wally. Let the record reflect that the time is 9:10 a.m. Member Campbell has joined the board meeting.
Mr. Chair, if you wanted to hear from maybe
I'm
Phil
good.
Smith, the investigator,
yep,
and then
good.
Hear from respondent and his attorney.
Yep, I'm good. I misread.
Okay, this is going to be board's opportunity to revisit complaint 20-12. It was during the July 13, 2020 board meeting that the board voted to approve the state's motion to rescind the board's prior action concerning complaint 20-12 and remanded the matter back to investigations for the matter to be heard at this particular board meeting. If you'd like, I can give you a synopsis of the original matter that brought the complaint to the board, and that included the date of the survey, the deficiencies, and the enforcement action that was taken by DHS.
No, I'm actually good on that one. Is there any other board member that would like for our investigator to kind of broaden or enlighten everyone if you do not remember the prior case? Okay. Hearing none, we'll just continue. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, now it's up to the board to determine what action, if any, they want to take as a result of the.
Okay, so we had taken action to reopen this because there was some confusion over a self-surrender being treated as a revocation, was my understanding.
Exactly.
Perfect. So we'll just proceed with the case. I guess my first question to you, Mr. Ariel, I noticed in this, when we reopened, there appears to be an item that was given to me, and it is page number 11 of 22 in the board's file. I'm just curious, why am I looking at a COVID investigation from New Jersey? What relevance does that have to me here? Mr. Ariel?
Although I may not have, yeah, sorry, good morning. And I had just had conferred with David, and together I thought it might be a good idea just to submit that to the board, just to show the board my ability in terms of competence and administrative qualities to be able to carry a facility through survey and have a deficiency-free survey. And highlight that the wound survey from August 2019 was just an outlier and was a good record.
So the, for me, I don't find this to be relevant for me because the COVID survey that would have started prior to you even getting there and would have already been in place, I would assume. So I'm just making that statement. My question to you, Mr. Ariel, is the issues with your prior board meeting, all of those issues were quality of care and substandard care issues, which led to you coming here. Those issues revolved around administrators' ability to do a QAPI and a QA, and to really look at that QAPI QA as a tool to improve quality services to your residents in the facility, and the state found that you did not do that. Can you talk to us a little bit about your QA and QAPI meetings, and did you have action plans, and where are those action plans, and how did you develop them, and how did you supervise and make sure that they were actually working?
Sure, so the facility.
This is David Cohen. I apologize for interrupting. I just want to make 2 points. Number one, I just want to make sure that the board has my email/letter dated July 1, 2020 in its file.
Yes, I have that.
Okay. And thank you. And the second point, just to make sure the record's clear, his first name is Ariel, his last name is Webb, so it's Mr. Webb.
Understood. Question still stands.
Okay. So in regards to QAPI, we held a monthly QAPI meeting. Administrator, Director of Nursing, Medical Director, other departments had attended, including the Moon Director. The facility had overall for the QAPI project, we had a uniformed HSAG template that we would use. The facility was in service on QA, QAPI, and on utilizing the form. In terms of wounds, wounds were discussed monthly in the QA. It was not as in-depth as it became as part of our plan correction in terms of auditing, you know, orders and treatments being conducted for their accuracy. However, it was discussed openly in the monthly QA with medical director and other members of the ICP team present.
So it was discussed, but you didn't look into it for accuracy? Did I hear you correctly?
It was an overall summary of the monthly wounds. I personally did not audit for compliance. I'm not a clinician.
Is there a reason why you chose not to audit for compliance?
The issue of it being an issue was never was brought up to my attention where it would trigger the need to audit for compliance.
Did you ever round with the wound team so that you could see what was going on in your facility?
I did not conduct in-person rounds with the wound director. I did often meet with the wound director, with the wound doctors who rounded the facility, the medical director as well, during which time no issues were brought to my attention.
So the surveyors had mentioned in the survey, and it was continually stated throughout, that the quality management program failed to identify quality deficiencies regarding pressure ulcers. Can you tell me whose responsibility it is to ensure that the QAPI and action plans were created, enforced, revised, and or completed?
Any of the clinical QAPI projects were usually done through the Director of Nursing.
And who's responsible ultimately to ensure that those are done?
The Director of Nursing.
Can you show me in the state regs for Arizona where it says the Director of Nursing shall ensure, or the Administrator shall ensure?
The latter.
Any other questions from any other board member before we open to discussion? Or does the Mr. Lev's attorney wish to make a statement?
have a question. How long has he been in this facility at the time of the inspection?
I believe it was 2 years.
At the
2 years ago.
Mr. Love, you can answer.
I'm sorry?
You can answer, Mr. Lev.
Oh, I became the administrator in January of 2018.
And the inspection was conducted on when?
August of 2019.
So it would be a fair statement that this was your inspection?
I have a question. How long have you been licensed as an administrator?
I'm sorry, there's an echo on the...
How long have you been licensed as an administrator?
Since 2014.
Mr. Cohen, do you have any statements that you'd like to make to the board as well?
Yeah, I'll be brief and try to summarize what we discussed today. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. President, members of the board. As Mr. Webb just noted, he's been a licensed administrator for 6 years. This is his very first time before the board. He was the administrator at Legion of Mesa for a period of 2 years, January 2018 to January 2020. We're discussing the 2019 annual survey dealing with some wound issues were discovered. Prior to the survey, as Mr. Love has stated today, he regularly consulted with the wound director, three different wound care physicians, the medical director, and the director of nursing regarding wound issues and whether there were any wound issues. All of those folks also attended the monthly QA meetings, during which no issues or red flags regarding wounds were raised with Mr. Webb. The wound issues that were cited in the 2019 survey were all related to clinical issues. Mr. Webb had, in January of 2020, moved back to New Jersey. When the survey came out, he had already intended to move, and although he was going to be moving and leaving the region, he made it his mission to turn things around following the survey. A revisit survey was conducted in November of 2019, and it was determined that the facility was in complete compliance. There were no additional issues at Allegiant during Mr. Lau's remaining term. He has since moved to New Jersey, where he is the administrator of a skilled nursing facility there. The reason that the information regarding the COVID investigation was provided was to show the board that he has had no history with DHS in New Jersey since moving from Arizona. So as Mr. Lau himself stated, this was a one-off. This is the exception and not the rule, and I respectfully request that this does not rise to the level of discipline for Mr. Webb. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Any other questions from a board member before we open it up to discussion? Okay, we'll open to discussion. My concern would be that, you know, as the administrators, we're responsible to ensure that not only are we holding the QAPIs, but that, you know, we are looking at action plans and that we're following those action plans and that we're following up on those action plans. And that we don't just hold the QAPI just to have numbers put on a piece of paper and we're meeting a checkbox. Throughout the survey, there were multiple issues with substandard quality of care that had been identified. When questioning Mr. Lev, his response was that was the director of nursing responsibility. I feel that it's the administrator's responsibility to ensure that the DON is actually doing what needs to be done. You know, and my other concern that I had was his quick response to say that he would self-surrender on the initial visit to the board, that he would just self-surrender his license. So those are my concerns.
Hi, this is Ari. In terms of the self-surrender, I apologize. That was just a true misunderstanding on my end. Corrected by that through remains once that first call had ended. In regard to the action plans, our QAPI was not just QA, but it was QAPI, the performance improvement piece. And we really did dive into various issues that were brought to our attention through QAPI, through means the morning clinical meeting, residence reviews have been canceled, et cetera. An action plan for wounds was just never identified because it didn't flag on anyone's radar for it to require the action plan, if that makes sense. So, you know, the majority of our QAPI project on the browse through a source as part of that, you know, root cause analysis in terms of the problem being raised and then getting, you know, identifying and carrying out, you know, the appropriate steps to resolve the QAPI. So I just want to speak to that.
Sure. I appreciate that. With that being said, is there a reason why you did not choose to renew your license in Arizona?
So I don't plan on returning to the state, so I didn't feel it would be necessary to renew it. That's really it. My wife is born and bred New Yorker, so she, although we enjoyed our time in Arizona, she, I don't want to say homesick, but that's really, that was her pull to move the family. So we have been making plans to New York for a while. Like David had stated, prior to the annual survey even being conducted, we had plans in place. Once we had the survey, I did not feel comfortable just leaving the team and leaving the building and going back to New York. I really did make it my mission to turn things around, and we worked very hard for months, you know, throughout August and September, October, and obviously through November survey. And it was really an excellent feeling knowing that we were deemed 100% compliant. And again, you and I did receive compliments from the survey team. In terms of our turnaround process and getting it, you know, perfect. So I guess I just wanted to, you know, just show a little bit about my character and you know, the values that I have as an administrator.
Thank you. Any other
Carl?
Yeah.
Member Kidder here. I think that, you know, it sounds like he was taking a lot of actions in it, but it still revolves around the QAPI program. It just sounds like the QAPI program wasn't effective enough. And I think maybe I would recommend just a letter of concern, something to the effect of the administrator failed to maintain an effective QAPI program. But it sounds like that's, you know, they were doing their rounding, they were doing the treatments, but the salient information was not coming forward to raise the alarm.
Am I hearing a motion from you, Member Kidder?
Yeah, so I make a motion that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation. Complaint number 20-12 is Administrator Ariel Lev, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the administrator failed to maintain an effective QAPI program.
I'll second that motion. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Urban?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, we have item number 6, 20-52, involving Administrator Sandra Vestic. Good morning.
Good morning.
Which one is Ms. Sandra? Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And you are?
I'm Heather Mathery of... I represent Hispestic.
Okay, can you spell your name, please?
Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R. Last name is Mathery, all one word, and it's M-A-C-R-E.
And you are the attorney of record for her?
Yes, sir. And I submitted a response to the board on behalf of Ms. Bestic.
Sure.
Dated May 21st, 2020.
Perfect, thank you. Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Sure, this is complaint 20-52. The licensee is Senator Bestic, who's present here today with her attorney, Heather Mathery. In between December 2nd, 2019 and December 6th, 2019, DHS conducted a nursing care institution recertification survey, a relicensure survey, and 8 complaint investigations at Banner Boswell Rehabilitation Center located in Sun City. These surveys and complaint investigations identified 8 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Bestic was noticed of the complaint, and a response was provided to staff by Ms. Bestic's attorney, Heather Mathery. The response was very detailed concerning the circumstances around the wound deficiency that resulted in the DHS enforcement action. On approximately February 11th, 2020, DHS did take enforcement actions, and they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated violation. And Ms. Bestic is here today to discuss the surveys and complaint investigations with the board.
Thank you so kindly. I read the case, and a lot of it centered around a CNA, and it sounded like the issue was brought to your attention sometime afterwards with the family member, the unit nurse, and that you took immediate action at that point, where you were not made aware prior. Am I correct?
Are you talking? I'm going to just, if you'll just let me interject, you need to turn your microphone on when you're speaking, so that way the record picks you up. But again, I apologize, just a housekeeping.
Push it.
And then
push
yeah, you can leave them on.
There you go.
Apologies.
So you're referencing the allegation of abuse.
Right.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
So it was not initially brought to your attention, but later, I guess, when the family were complaining, were upset, the unit manager, you immediately got involved.
That's
and
correct.
You even reported after the 2-hour window,
yes,
knowing that it would probably invite DHS into your facility, but you still did the right thing and reported. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Perfect. That's the only question I had for this case. I really don't see anything. I think she did everything within her power that she could do. And she took immediate action once she was noticed of the issue. I don't really see anything here. Does any other board member have anything that they would like to add?
This is Member Erwin, and I agree.
As you can see.
Okay. Hearing nothing else, I will make a motion. I move that the board find insufficient evidence and insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number, I gotta find it here, 20-52, and involving Administrator Sandra Bestic.
Member Kidder seconds.
Roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Erman.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Next up is item number 19-45 involving manager Ramona Johnson. Ms. Johnson, are you on the line? Ms. Johnson, are you on the line? Let the record reflect, it's 9:33 a.m. Ms. Johnson is not present in person or telephonically. Phil, if you could outline the case for us.
Well, I did, and it's a 3-page summary here.
Yeah.
That highlights the 4 surveys, 4 consent agreements, involving two different managers, Ms. Johnson being one, and Ms. Luliana Karp being the other. Ms. Karp's manager certificate is currently suspended for her failure to comply with the consent agreement that the board offered her, she entered into. It appears that this facility has been very poorly managed by both managers. There's been numerous deficiencies in many areas, many repeats, and both managers were responsible for some of them during the entire span of these different surveys. So I would defer to you, the board, to determine if they want to keep the complaint on Ms. Johnson or transfer it over to Ms. Carr. Although I don't know what's going to happen with Ms. Carr, because she is currently suspended.
Hey, member Kidder, are you on speakerphone or no?
Yeah, I was. All right. So we had a formal hearing on June 15th where we rescinded the formal hearing. Was she present at that time?
I think she was, yeah, she was here.
And she was properly noticed at this meeting?
No, this was just to decide where the board wanted to go with this case.
Okay.
For me.
But was she either here or via telephone in June to discuss the motion?
She was on the phone.
Okay. But now she was noticed for this meeting, and do we know why she's not here?
No, she wasn't noticed for this meeting because this is just a memo to the board to decide what they want to do with the case, if they want to proceed against her or if they want the case transferred over to the other manager, who was the manager at the time of this follow-up survey, which were all repeats from the prior survey.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, the issue is you know, there's two managers involved. They've had horrific surveys, mismanagement. Do we wish to hold Mrs. Johnson accountable as well?
I understand that she had been gone for 5.5 months when this most recent survey was conducted. However, she was there previously when there were numerous other deficiencies identified. So she dropped the ball once, and then when the new manager came over, the new manager didn't do any better. And the manager that was there during this survey that result of the new case is suspended.
And Mrs. Johnson's been a manager since 2001.
Yeah, and she's been in numerous facilities.
Yeah. I mean,
Member Ehrman, do we know if Ramona Johnson is currently in charge of the building?
I don't know today. I'm not sure she is. I'm just not sure where. Like I said, she's worked in numerous facilities over the years.
For me, I mean, this is just me, but she's been a manager since 2001. It was a horrific survey. I think maybe some education going back to school for the 40 hours would be where I would be looking.
You need to.
Well, we'd have to
hear the case.
So I would just
reschedule it, but understand that she was not the manager at the time of this survey.
Okay.
She had been out there for 5.5 months, and the reason it was open on her, because these were repeat deficiencies. Okay, so a lot of the issues never got corrected. When she left, this new person came in, DHS came in, noticed all these repeat deficiencies.
Did we take action on her, or was her surveys brought forward to the board in the past?
Yes.
Did we deal with those?
Yes, it's in the memo there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm so confused. You know, if that's the case, then I think we don't have enough here because she was gone for 5.5 months. And we addressed her issues
on a previous survey
at a past date.
And then the other one is suspended, yeah. So there's really, I mean, what are we gonna do there? So, how about we just move to dismiss?
Well, we haven't even opened a complaint. So are we asking if we're opening the complaint case against Ms. Johnson? For this?
Well, the case is still on her.
Okay.
So you could decide.
Yeah.
Case 1945.
Yeah, you dismiss it.
Dismiss, okay.
Ask me to open it on the other one.
Yeah, I would just, because this is a muddled, I don't know that you're going to get down to the bottom of it with all of these different managers involved. And it's been going on for a while, so. The other one's already been held accountable. Ms. Johnson was here and held accountable at that time for her prior issues. I would just move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint. Number 19-45 involving manager Ramona Johnson.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you all. Next up is item number 820-76 involving Richard Becerra.
Sure, this is complaint 20-76. The licensee is Richard Becerra, who's present here today. And the complainant is a Brittany Marie Lowe. I don't know if she signed it. She wasn't added to today's meeting.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. She's here.
Thank you.
Okay, on June 8th, 2020, staff initiated this complaint investigation after receiving a complaint via the board's portal from Ms. Brittany Marie Lowe, a previous employee at the Villas at Bella Vista, located in Mesa. Her allegations included that in approximately December 2019, and again in January 2020, Ms. Becerra, the facility manager, sexually assaulted her at the facility, and Ms. Becerra sent Ms. Lowe and other female employees inappropriate messages, and that the facility is understaffed and residents are being neglected and left alone with little or no staff working the floor, and that several employees do not have current employment credentials. Mr. Becerra was noticed of the complaint. He did provide a written response and is present here today. It is noted that the Mesa Police Department was involved in this matter and they have closed their investigation.
Thank you. Phil, do we know if there is a court injunction or protection?
I don't know. Bob,
just because Ms. everyone's Lowe here?
Ms. Lowe would probably be able to.
Okay, perfect. All right, Mr. Becerra.
Yes.
Can you please turn on your microphone?
I'm sorry?
Press the button to turn on your mic.
Is it on now?
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Mr. Becerra, you were the administrator of record at the facility, and it appears that there was some HR issues that were brought up in the investigation. Is that correct?
I was the facility director in January of 2020.
Okay.
This is a community that has independent and assisted living. I was the director of the whole community, but I had a director of nursing or assisted living director who was the manager of record at that time.
Okay. And do you typically hold meetings privately with individuals?
No.
Okay. So on this case, it appears that you had asked for her to come up to a particular room where you guys could discuss something in private. So that's something that's typically not the norm for you?
That was a situation where Brittany had come to me expressing wanting to get a better job or do better other than what the caregiving she was doing. She did work Saturdays, and we were in need of somebody to do tours on Saturdays. So I was looking at training her on how to do the tours, and that was the model room that we have, and what to show, what to say, and that's what that about. She did get a promotion from caregiving to the activity department. somewhere, I believe it was in January or February.
How long has she been an employee with you?
I don't know. I was there since October. She was there when I started.
Okay. Any other questions from a board member?
I do have a question. Was anything submitted in writing as a complaint other than to the police department?
All I know is one morning the police department came to talk to me. They said there was a complaint by Brittany. They asked me the questions, you know, was it true? I said no. They said they would come back to me if they received any other information about the allegation, and I have not heard anything since then. This was, had to be mid-February.
And is this big enough that you have a separate HR department?
Yes, our department is in Michigan.
Oh, okay. And did they receive a written complaint? Do you know?
I don't know if it was a written complaint. I don't know if it was a phone call, but they called me right about the same time, saying Brittany had made an allegation. I answered their questions. They said they would get back with me if anything was substantiated or if they had any other proof from Brittany. And again, I never heard anything else from them. So happens 3 days, about 2 or 3 days after I got that phone call from HR, Brittany resigned. There was a drug screen for about 12 employees. That situation with a lot of employees were same allegations about each other using drugs. So that our HR department sent a whole group of employees, the ones in the allegations and just random samples of employees, for drug screens, and three days after that happened, Brittany resigned.
Thank you.
Any other questions from a board member?
And you're still there, correct?
Yes, I'm still there.
Member Urban, I would like to move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation.
Hold on, Ted. Sure. Hold on just one moment, because I think we do need to hear from Ms. Brittany. So, any other questions for Mr. Becerra at this time? Okay. Mr. Becerra, if you could please have a seat, and Ms. Brittany, if you can please come up.
Thank you.
You could identify yourself for the record, please.
This is Ms. Brittany Marie Lowe.
Okay, Mrs. Lowe, can you talk to us a little bit about these allegations? And you made some allegations also with regards to staff in your complaint. Can you provide documentation to the board so that we can see what you're talking about?
I've given Mr. Philip what all proof that I've had since I've been at the facility. I did resign from the facility because when I went to the HR department complaining about the allegations with Mr. Richard, they had came in the facility, and her name was Priscilla. When she had came to the facility, they brought me and a few of my employees, you know, close ones, and had stated we all were under investigation after I had given complaints about sexual assault. They then pulled up the list of us around the back of the facility where the assisted living side was, because when I first started, I was hired for assisted living because they don't hire caregivers on independent. They are privately paid ones that come from a different source. So it was then they had made me and several other employees that were brought into this office with Mr. Richard, Priscilla, and Kelly, who was, I'm guessing she was the administrator. I don't even know who she was the whole time, but she's the one that hired me. When the complaint first started, it started and I went to a nurse that was working for the facility. So after they picked us up in the bus, they sent us to Concentra, where they had Mr. Richard drive the bus and us, who had made several. I wasn't the only one who worked for for the facility, and I'm not the only one that doesn't work there, that gave several allegations of sexual assault to the HR department, which was Priscilla and Jill. And it was then they did nothing, so I then went on the State Board of Nursing, where I got educated from, you know, when I went to school. If stuff like this happens, you go to the State Board of Nursing and you make the complaint, so that's where I went. I talked to Mr. Phillip. It was then I felt like, because I reported this man, they put me and several other employees under investigation. I didn't quit because of my drug tests. I quit because I felt uncomfortable around this man. It was not only one time he tried to look down my shirt in the laundry room of the assisted living. He then followed me into a residence room and tried to do the same thing. When I then pushed his hand away, I told him I was going to report him. It started with HR, is where I went. I also went to my supervisor, who was, her name was Alexis. And when I went to her, we went to the theater room to talk because I was telling her how uncomfortable I felt around this man. She then reported that she was sexually assaulted by this man as well. So we both then went to the HR department, reported it, and then all of a sudden, here comes the HR department, you're all under investigation, go submit a drug test. Then, after reporting we felt uncomfortable around this man, they made him drive us to do our drug test.
Okay. Have you, because in this, your testimony, you continually restate that you didn't want to be around this man, you are nervous around this man, did you ever pursue an order of protection against this gentleman?
No, because when I went to the Mesa Police Department, they told me they had to start with talking with Richard. And it was then I never heard from the police department, and obviously I had went to the State Board of Nursing and filed a complaint. I even went to the Arizona Department of Health Services and filed a complaint. It was then I obviously talked to Mr. Phillip, and this is where we're at today.
Do you happen to know if any of the others who
told
you something about some sort of alleged abuse, did any of them put anything in writing?
We all went to the HR department.
And were they questioned when the
police? Yes, we sat on a conference call with the HR department, which her name was Jill. Us and all of the women who reported this, there was even witnesses that had talked with Jill. The HR department was aware of what was going on.
Were you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but were you present when they spoke to HR?
No, because they called us all in a different conference call, had asked us if we all were alone. And there was even one of my friends who had worked there, and her name was Cassandra Braden. And she was one of the witnesses that they had talked to, and she got put under investigation for it too, but none of us worked for the facility.
Were you present when your friend Mrs. Braden spoke?
No, because when Jill had called us on the conference call, she wanted us to be alone in a room where she could talk to us.
So the information to which each individual spoke with HR was confidential?
Yes.
Okay.
Did the police talk to any of these other
people? I'm not aware, because I don't think that half of these people were still working for the facility, because we were either told to resign because we were under investigation, or I left because I felt uncomfortable. I don't think it's okay that someone gets away with this.
Did anybody pursue criminal charges?
I'm not sure.
Have you pursued criminal charges?
I have never heard back from the police department.
But you had an opportunity to speak with the police?
Yes.
Because you filed the...
I actually have the case number, and I actually...
We have that.
Did anybody come today with you as somebody else who...
No.
To corroborate?
Your allegations?
But there are people that said it, that obviously some of my friends that were witnesses said that they were willing to write a statement and submit it if need be. There was also another complaint from another coworker that I had previously worked there with me as well, because we were coming in on a morning shift on 6:50s, and there were people sleeping on the couch that was supposed to be taking care of these residents. And I was never ever trained to do tours in this facility ever either. I worked for the facility from September 2019 to March 2020, only removing myself from the facility because I felt uncomfortable and nervous around this man that I wasn't going to do it no more. He's tremendously impacted my caregiving career, and I'll probably never be a caregiver again because of this man.
Okay. Any other questions from any other board members? Sarah, if you can rejoin us, I'll give you the opportunity to make a rebuttal on what was just stated.
Yes, the bus that was brought was driven by HR because of all the allegations. I mean, there literally were about 10 employees making allegations about each other using drugs, whether it be on-site or outside. Brittany was involved in that, so HR just after hearing all these get rich statements, we were in charge of getting all the rich statements for HR while all this was going on. The night before the bus came, they called me and said, you need to get the bus. We're going to take the employees up in two shifts, all of them that are involved, and I'm going to throw in about 5 extra employees just as extra people to throw in. So that the drug screens were never driven by me. That was all done through HR, and that's the reason for the bus. Alexis, who was the activity director at the time, Ms. Brittany says that Alexis accused me of the same thing or mentioned Brittany. When Alexis, she was also caught in this drug screen, and when she was terminated, her exit interview to my boss was that I was one of the best managers she's ever worked with.
Were you present during that interview?
No, I was not. That I was one of the best managers she ever worked with, and then she appreciated the training and the management that we were.
But you were not present during the interview?
No, I was not.
Okay.
And then, that's my rebuttal.
Okay. Any other questions from any other board member?
Yeah, I have a question. So during this time that you were organizing this bus and investigating the drug issue or drug allegations, were there any other allegations of any other inappropriate conduct, or was this the only thing you were dealing with at that moment?
Yes, the I wasn't organizing the bus. That was a 24-hour notice that I received to get the bus going. And as far as the allegations going, all we were doing, me and the assistant living manager were doing, were getting information, hearing the everybody's side of it, getting written statements, and forwarding it to HR. Because the allegations were coming daily. And
about the drug issue.
Yes, and we were
correct.
You know, and some of the allegations were they're doing it on site. Well, we would go by and walk around the building and where they said they were smoking it, and we could never smell it. We could never clarify or say yes they were, because we never found it, we never saw it, we never smelled it.
During the course of your investigation, did it heighten to the level of that you needed to put anyone on suspension pending the outcome of an investigation, or did you allow everyone to continue working?
We let them continue working because it was basically the whole staff. And because we could substantiate whether they were, whether they weren't, who was telling the truth, what was telling the truth, were they all making up stories. And that's why HR was involved this year. It was really a head spinning every single day. Someone's making an allegation, we can't confirm it, there are no witnesses. So we sent everything to HR that we had, and that's when the bus idea came up.
Any other questions from any other board member?
So just to clarify, there were no other allegations about other inappropriate conduct during this time. It was all about the drugs, is that correct?
That's correct. I did not receive notice that Brittany was making an allegation until about 3 days before she resigned, and then that was the last episode.
Okay.
Member Siemens, you had a question?
Yeah, just a brief question. And I don't know who owns this community, but is it a large enough organization? Do they come in person and interview people?
I'm not aware. I never saw it. Afterwards, I heard people got interviewed, so I'm assuming they did. But I was not involved or knew of anybody being interviewed other than the allegation that was made against me.
Were you ever placed on a suspension pending the outcome of this investigation?
No.
Have you had any other contact with any other law enforcement agency, courts, or anything with regards to this allegation?
Not at all. And the allegations about not having staff, we have 27 assisted living residents, 24 rooms. We staff three of that tech and two caregivers on each shift morning, each shift afternoon, and we staff two of them at night. Those ratios are way better than what most assisted living are providing. That's why I find the allegations totally false. And then as far as us not running with a nurse, we have an LPN on site. We didn't for about 30 to 45 days because we were in between, but we hired one and we had one on site.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that information. For me, the relevance here was with regards to the Mesa Police Department investigation and issues surrounding inappropriate conduct.
Yeah, okay. And I never received even the number, the case number from the police department. They just came in and did the questions, and they said, well, if we get any information or any proof from Whitney, really, then we will come and talk to you again. And that's the last I heard.
Any other questions from anyone else? Okay. You know, the issue becomes that this, you know, for me, that this has been investigated by law enforcement. There are no open cases. It has been closed. Parties were interviewed. After reading the Mesa PD report that we were given from our investigator from Mesa Police Department, you know, I unfortunately, I don't see where this rises to a level of disciplinary action. And so I would make a motion that we move to dismiss. The board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 20-76 against manager Richard Bassetta.
Second.
All second.
Charles and Susan, sorry.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
No.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries with one nay for Member Campbell. Thank you, sir. If you can just wait right here for a moment. Yep.
Sorry. Give them some time to clear out. So say that.
Oh, yeah. You may want to just have a seat back over here. Give them some time to clear out. Allow security to do what they need to do. Okay, next up, item number 9, 20-67, involving manager Alona Taralba.
Bill, can you turn on the mic?
Alan, do we need to ask security just to make sure? Just because I don't want an incident.
Have a seat.
That's it?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go into recess for about 5 minutes. Board stands at recess. It's 10:02 a.m. Board is back in session. If we can do a quick roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Start over. Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Ehrman?
Present.
Okay, thank you all. Okay. All right, let's continue on. Complaint case number 20-67, Alona Taralba. Thank you for being here this morning. And Phil, if you could outline the case, please.
Okay, this is complaint 20-67. Licensee is Alana Taralba, who's present here today. And on February 20th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Casa La Playa, number 4, located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 8 different areas. 5 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Taralba was notified of the complaint. She did provide her written response on approximately April 9th of 2020. DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 5 substantiated repeat violations. It's also noted that on approximately June 16th, 2020, DHS did accept Ms. Taralba's plan of correction, and she is present here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Taralba, how long have you been at the facility?
I own it.
You own it, okay, thank you. So you've been there since it's been opened?
Yeah.
How long has that been?
I used to have 2 care homes, and then later when my husband passed away, I transferred to the last one that I maintained.
Okay. How long has this one been functioning?
That was functioning...
More than 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've been there the whole time?
Yeah. Especially this last year, I'm living there up to now.
Okay. And how big of a facility? How many residents?
5.
5 residents. Mm-hmm. So why the repeat deficiencies?
There were 12 citations, and most of it calls for some signatures. And then there was the case of one new resident who cannot sign anymore, and the power of attorney didn't come on time. She signed it 2 days after the required number of days that should be signed. It should be 7 days, but she signed it on the 9th day. And on the other allegation, it started with the inspection in 2018. The resident DW came to us 2017, and the inspector said, "I admitted a patient was not walking, and that would mean additional citations for not having the doctor's signature, the power of attorney, and all that stuff." But then I was able to prove that the resident was really walking when he came to the facility. But during her interview with the resident, he was asked, "Are you walking?" And then the resident said, "No, because I had a wound. I cannot." But the inspector was referring to his admission, but the resident was referring to the present situation he was in.
And so at the time of survey, was he able to walk?
At the time of survey, because the issue is, did I accept a resident that is not walking?
Right.
Okay. At the time of the inspection, he was not walking anymore.
Okay.
But I was able to prove that he was walking when I accepted
him. And did you, I'm sorry to write it.
And so, at the point in time when he was not able to walk anymore, mm-hmm. did that trigger for you to do a new service plan?
Yeah.
Okay, and with the new service plan, if somebody's now not walking mm-hmm. or not able to transfer mm-hmm. themselves, mm-hmm. do you still need to have that document signed by the practitioner, the doctor, that says that even though they can't walk, you're still doing a good job taking care of them?
Yeah. There was.
Uh-huh. And where was that? That's what the surveyor was looking for.
It was on the file, and the file is being handled by the surveyor during the survey. And I pointed it out, but then said, "Oh, I already asked the resident." And he said, he's not walking. Yeah, this time he's not walking. And I even showed documents saying that, you know, I brought him to the wound center and all that stuff, you know, corrected.
Let me clarify. So if you have a resident who can't move, they're bedbound, or they're bound by wheelchair, they can't ambulate at all,
mm-hmm.
what document do you get signed, and by whom, and how often do you do that?
Okay, when the resident is not walking anymore, I have a document that says, you know, permission for the doctor to stay, and he has no power of authority. He doesn't have any family, so he signed it himself.
Did the doctor sign it?
Yeah.
And how often do you make sure that you have that?
If it's non-ambulatory, it's every 3 months.
You do it every 3 months.
Yes.
That's better than what the state asks for. So okay, that satisfies my question. What systems have you put in place since the survey to ensure the board that you won't have repeat deficiencies in these areas?
Immediately I corrected all the, as soon as I received the letter from the surveyor, the day after the survey, I was given some insights on what should be cited on me. I started correcting. That's why when the letter came from the Department of Health, I had corrected it. It's just that citing me for receiving a non-ambulatory patient, a resident, and I don't have the succeeding documents to support it. I was able to prove that when I accepted.
So was yep. did you do an informal dispute?
Yeah.
On that, and was it removed?
I was sent a letter saying that I only ask for your plan of correction. I don't ask for your disagreement.
Okay. So a formal dispute.
And I submitted again, removing the disagreement. I submitted again all the papers, and she wrote back and she said it's accepted.
So the informal dispute is different than just your plan of correction.
Uh-huh.
Most of this is paperwork,
uh-huh.
signatures, which I think what Mr. President was suggesting or asking is, what are you doing now so that none of this ever happens again? How soon are you asking for the resident's family to sign a service plan?
On the very day,
doing your service plans.
I usually invite the power of attorney during the making of the service plan so they can sign. But that case, the power of attorney of resident number one is not available. She's a nurse. She's working, and she said she cannot come. But then that lady, she was first, when the nurse made the service plan, she was first like, she looks like, you know, she cannot answer anyone. I said, you know what, sis, you just have to talk louder and stuff like that. So it was changed to, instead of directive care, she was moved to a higher level. And then,
a higher level than directed care?
No, the lower level than directed care, I'm sorry. Okay. And then when the POA came, it was past the duration of the time for signature. Yeah.
But they still signed it. So yeah. Is there a way to do it differently so that you don't end up being late? Because that's even though wasn't necessarily your fault if they came late. Is there a way that you could do it so that it's not late with that signature? Can you ask them earlier?
I think that I should mail it.
Or mail it?
Uh-huh.
And is that what you would do now
uh-huh.
if they can't come
uh-huh.
because of COVID or
uh-huh, yeah.
because they're too busy?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No, she was on her first home. She owns a care home too.
Okay.
And she was so busy.
Do I hear recommendation?
Well, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Melanie. Thank you, President. I have a question, two things. On your response, you said you felt there was no need to answer the first citation, which is a repeat on quality management, because there's nothing to report. Can you tell me why you felt that way and why you think there was nothing to report?
That was not a good answer, probably, because I know for a fact that I have nothing to report. I could have done the report, even if there's nothing to include.
Do you have a written quality management program?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what does it say you have to do if you're the manager and you're the owner? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that you're the, unfortunately, doesn't matter that you're the same person. Because mm-hmm. maybe you have a different owner and you're the manager. What does your quality management program say that you have to do as the manager?
I should do a monthly report.
Does your policy and procedure say monthly?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was up to you.
What kind of things do you report? What kind of things would be included?
Well, it says there are accidents or cases like loss of weight, you know, stuff like that. But there was none.
Okay, and so on that report, if there was none, would you put
none,
zero, mm-hmm. and then what?
And then I signed downwards.
And so.
And I've been doing it ever since.
You've been doing it ever since. Okay.
So that was a repeat deficiency. The other one that concerns me is that you stated you didn't know that the smoke detectors had to be checked monthly, and that was also. It actually happened two times prior to the survey. So can you tell me about that?
Ever since it stated on my policy and procedure that I will be checking it every 3 months. I was corrected the year previous to this year, but I still followed the every 3 months thing. And I'm personally doing it, but right. And then she told me, no, it should be every month, so I'm now following it every month.
And you know that that's what the rule says from Department of Health Services? We can't make up our own rule about every 3 months.
Yeah. And that rule has been that way for quite some time.
What's the recommendation? Some education, I think.
Okay. I'm waiting.
I'm looking at the
So one of the recommendations that Member Archer is making is some education surrounding environmental standards.
That would be it.
Are there any other that any other board members?
I would say quality. Yeah, I would still say quality assurance. I'm not 100% convinced on that.
Okay. Anything else? I'll make it.
Okay, go.
Based on you. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-10, and AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 20-67 involving manager Alona. Taruba, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, of the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement cost of, that's what I was looking for.
It was 461.
Are we doing straight numbers like that? 461. Mm-hmm. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. We said quality assurance and environmental standards.
Environmental disaster preparedness or standards?
Environmental standards.
Okay.
Is that?
Yep.
Okay. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee or certificate holder? Is that the end? That's it.
I'll second.
Is that it? Oh.
Did you want to second, Melanie?
I did.
Okay, go
Thank
for it.
Thank you, we'll Charles.
Absolutely. Well, you're the queen of the board, so absolutely.
Oh, God. I'll second that motion.
So Susan, do you have any more call?
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman? Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for being here. All right, next up, case number 20-68 involving manager Marie Eady.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for being here today. Bill, if you could outline the case for us, please.
So this complaint 20-68, licensee is Marie E., who is present here today. On March 4th, 2020, the DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Marie's Ordering Care 2 located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. E. was notice of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately April 27, 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 4 substantiated repeat violations. Ms. E. is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Perfect, thank you. Ms. E., how long have you been the manager of this facility?
I've been a manager 22 years.
Of this facility?
This facility, 6 years.
6 years. And how large of a facility is this, please?
It's licensed for eight residents.
Okay. And why the repeat deficiencies?
You know, I think the first one was, I think I had the back porch painted and the painter put it on the back porch, and that was like a few days before, and I just didn't put it away. That was one, I think the toxic. And then one was paper towels in one of the bathrooms, and usually I work every day, I usually fill those. But, you know, in the morning I do my rounds, and my caregivers should have put a, you know, or the paper towels there, but they didn't. That was one. And then I think the other one was the first
medication
one.
Administration?
Yes. It was on a client. I'm an RN also. And I wrote a verbal order. And I had it signed and I sent that to the Department of Health. But the only thing I didn't do is I didn't write it on the MAR.
So
it was like 2 days. It was, I think, March 2nd. Mm-hmm. I got the order March 2nd. And I didn't write it on the MAR, even though I put it in the mess. So that's one thing I did. And on March 12th, the doctor signed the paper. And I think I was wanting to see if it was going to be affected before I wrote it on. That's the reason why I didn't write it on the MAR. I wanted to see if it was going to help him or not.
Was the medication given?
Yeah, it was a leave, you know,
right.
Just to put it on.
So it was given, but it wasn't on the mark.
Right.
So if it's not written, we don't know that it's been done, right?
Right.
Was there a reason why you didn't put it on the mark?
Because I was wondering, you know, I think on the back of my mind, I was thinking, I want to see if it works. You know, he was complaining of pain, and he's one that didn't like to take medications, and sometimes you start giving him something he refuses. So thinking back, that's what I was thinking, that it was just.
If a physician were to order a medication, you wanted to figure out if it's going to work or not, would you put it on the mark?
Yeah. I think it was just like a day, because they came the 4th and this was the 2nd. So it was just a matter of timing. I'm sure, you know, when I was going to, see if it was going to be effective, you know, day 2, I would have wrote it down. But
was
I think it was just.
Was it a PRN?
No, it was the leave. No, it was going to be a given in the morning. Yeah.
A schedule?
Yeah.
Every day?
So how did you document that you gave it to him so the doctor would know if it was effective or not?
Well, I wrote it on the, I took a telephone order, and it was written on the 2nd, and it was signed by the doctor by the 12th, the written order, but I'm just saying the inspector came on the 4th. So, you know, it was just a few days, but
so
still, I understand,
the,
I should have wrote it.
Right, but yeah, between the 2nd and the 4th, when the inspector came, nothing was on the mark, so you have 2 days of nothing on the mark, yet the medication, according to you, had been given, but
right.
There's no way to prove that it had been given. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In your response, you stated that you didn't understand some of the paperwork the inspector asked for. Can you tell me a little bit about why you would say that?
Oh, you're talking about, that's not the repeat, right? You're talking about another one, is that right? It's not the one.
I'm talking about the written response to the board.
You know, I think when she was talking, I wasn't there, unfortunately. I was on the way to Tucson to get a passport for my son, because knowing I would be there, that's the first time in 22 years that I was not there for my inspection. So I think that was the biggest thing, because I would have probably taken care of these things while she was there, you know, that could have been handled differently. But anyways, that was, I think, for the caregiver. When they come on, we do a review of the emergency. And I think she wanted to have something more of a check warrant, like a handout. And so I have gotten that, and I sent that in. That yes, he did it. Even though I do have it on the sheet when they come in that we check that, she wanted something more on a yearly basis that we check for the evacuation plan. And I think it was a miscommunication thinking, was it on admission that we went over it, or was it the monthly, the yearly? So I went back and I did get the yearly and I submitted that. So I think it was because we were talking on the phone, it wasn't face-to-face.
And so, are you clear on
yes.
what has to be done?
Yes, I am.
How often does your disaster and emergency preparedness plan need to be reviewed?
Well, once a year for me, for the policy and procedure. For my caregivers, it's on admission, and then when they do the monthly evacuation, I do the evacuation of 5 at the same time, that way they get it all in, and that's every shift, every, you know, so it's really every shift for every month, really, we do it.
You're doing them every month?
Yes. I do both of them every month. That way I know it's done, and they understand about evacuation and the fire.
And your food, how do your residents know what they're going to be eating if their menu's not there?
Okay, I do most of the cooking, and it's more or less, you know, we give the pyramid, you know, meat, rice, whatever, but I buy the groceries and I do make the food every day, so I know what they're eating. But I know I didn't have it up, and that's another thing I didn't have up, is the updated calendar. But normally when I'm there, I'm making the food for them, and I'm labeling it and I'm putting it in the fridge. So my caregivers really aren't doing much cooking, it's me.
So how often do you put up a menu?
It should be every month.
And so if there's going to be a change in that menu on any of the items that are listed, when do you have to update it?
At that time.
What's the reg say?
What's the rule?
Oh, the rule says that you should mark it off and write if you're gonna have something else.
How soon?
I think every time.
Prior to the meal being served, how soon do you have to update the menu?
How soon do you have to update the menu?
At what point in the day?
When you make it in the morning, say, you know, some you know, you're not gonna have something in the evening, you're gonna update it in the morning, you know, but it's every month that you have to do it.
The rule says every month we put up a calendar?
Yes, and I didn't do that. I have it written down in my book, but I just didn't have it on the board.
And do you know what the rule is?
Yeah, it has to be put up.
And how often and how far in advance?
A month. In advance, you should have it up.
can have it up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not what the rule says, but more power to you if you can shop for a month.
All right. Any other questions from any other board member?
Food service.
Yeah. I think some educational opportunities.
A little bit.
If there's no other questions, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 43347A and B1 for professional conduct, complaint number 20-68 involving manager Marie Eve, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the stay of the suspension as long as the terms of the agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $480. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, resident rights, environmental standards. Any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder? Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
You okay giving it to Melanie?
Yeah.
All right, so Charles and Melanie.
Consider Phil special.
Al?
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Thank you, motion carries.
Thank you,
ma'am. Have a good day.
So I'll be getting something in the mail.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, next up will be, we're going to skip over item number 11 after hearing from board investigator Phil. We're going to move on to.
Did you want to defer it then?
Yeah, I would like to defer that based on what you were telling us. Move that to next month.
Which one is that?
So that the other board members are aware. Phil received a call on that one. He could not make it today due to medical reasons. Next up, item number 12, 20-71, Lydia Guerrero.
Guerrero.
Thank you. Good morning, Nick. Thank you for joining us. Okay, Phil?
Okay, this is complaint 20-71. The licensee is Lydia Guerrero, who's present here today. On January 16, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Hope Care Assisted Living located in Maricopa. Compliance inspection identified 22 deficiencies in 10 different areas. Two of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Schedwell was noticed with the complaint, and she did provide a response. And in her response, she stated that she'd been the manager for only 2 months prior to the survey being conducted. And when she was hired, she was not made aware of the previous issues from the prior survey. Now, if you notice in the report that I generated for the board, there's mention of another manager, Verna Barya, who was the manager at the time of the previous survey. So going back in the same situation you had earlier with two managers in the same facility when deficiencies occurred, who was there when and was responsible for what? It should be noted that Ms. Barrio did have the prior case, although DHS took enforcement action, the board voted to dismiss that case, but there was another case involving Ms. Barrio at a home that she managed that did result in a consent agreement. It seems that Ms. Guerrero was not noticed of the issues about how poorly this facility was managed prior to her hiring. Had she been given that information, things might have been a little different. Now, DHS did take enforcement action on April 9th of 2020, while imposed a civil money penalty of $3,000 for 3 substantiated violations. And Ms. Schedwell was here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Thank you so much. And I would also note she gave a pretty good response for only being there for 2 months, so I'm not quite sure why you're here. If you were only the manager for 2 months, I don't think you can walk in and fix all the issues in 2 months.
I have one question.
Yes.
If you were to walk into another facility Are you still at this one?
No, okay. I resigned.
So when you went to a new facility, what did you do? Is there a way that you can find out what happened in the past?
Oh, yes. There are ways to find out. And usually when I take over a facility, I want to know what the previous studies have looked like, and I go through all of them.
You go through what?
The previous citations that are being in the
facility. And where can you find those?
I'll find them in the file. It is a survey file, of course. And then I usually email the people that work at the place and talk to previous employees and department heads. Now, this was my first aerial home facility, so I'd never been to a five small. I've always been in big facilities, so this was my smallest one. And talking to the caregivers, they were newer and not conversant with what goes on in an AL. Their owner lives in Texas. And so the only way of communicating to me is texting me. And I said, this doesn't seem formal to me if I'm having your issues, to be texting me little information here and there, bits and pieces of information. And so she only shows up here once a month. And I began to be concerned because it did appear that she was well involved to own this facility. And within a short amount of time, when this survey came out that was conducted in October, I told her, I'm real concerned about my license. I don't feel that I can really be part of your team if there's no change that's going to be done. And so at that time, you know, she explained to me that this survey was collected in October and it took 4 months for the survey to send back at the SOD. And so she figured that she had really fixed what she was informed of the issues. So the facility was just in a bad shape. And that's all I can say.
Okay. So now the place where you are now, you looked into what previous condition they were in?
Oh, yes, yeah, and I have confidence. And I try to be there at least 20 hours a week, so I usually show up there, I call, I find out how things are going, and I'm very much involved in that community. I have no concerns every day about what else is going on. Yes, I do the trainings and all this stuff, so I'm really there.
Thank you.
Any other questions from any other board member? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion. Move the board find insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 20-71 involving manager Lydia Getawaru.
Second.
So.
Charles and Susan, roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell? Member Campbell? Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Member Campbell, are you present?
Wally, are you on the line? Okay, let the record reflect the time is 10:43 a.m. Member Campbell is not on the line at this time. However, the board still has a quorum. Oh, sorry. You must have had us on mute, Holly. Okay, it's 10:43. Member Campbell is on the line. Thank you, motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, next up is complaint case number 20-58, Patricia Wallach. Ms. Patricia, are you on the line? Not present in person. Phil, if you want to outline the case.
Sure. This is complaint 20-58. The licensee is Patricia Wolke, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. On February 3rd, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Woodland Palms Assisted Living located in Tucson. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 8 different areas. 5 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. On April 24th, 2020, staff sent a notice of complaint to Ms. Wolke by regular mail as well as email. and she did not provide a written response. On approximately March 20, 2020, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for four substantiated repeat violations. It was also noted that Ms. Wolke was invited to today's meeting via regular mail and email.
Thank you. So these are pretty substantial. We still haven't heard from her. I think I read the case and we all have read it. Is there any questions from any board member?
She seemed very involved or interested in
right.
doing this.
Is she on the line? Maybe ask again just to see.
Ms. Wolke, are you on the line? Someone has us on speakerphone. If you could take us off of speakerphone, I'd appreciate it. Time is 10:45 a.m. Ms. Patricia Wilkie, are you on the line?
She wasn't invited to call in. So.
Perfect. Okay. I'm okay with the recommendations, and if she is not wanting to comply with that, then there's other actions the board can take. So I'm prepared to make a motion that based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 446-10A, CR 433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 20-58 involving manager Patricia B. Wolke, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the stay of the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $467. 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval requirement. Documentation completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, personnel requirements, environmental standards. Any costs are those of the probation, or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Charles and Susan.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Item number 14, case number 20-74, involving Kuda Gwen. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Phil, if you could outline this case for us, please.
Sure. This is complaint 20-74. Licensee is Kuda Gwynn, who is present here today. On February 6, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Cove Assisted Living located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 11 different areas. Ms. Gwynn was noticed of a complaint, and she did provide her written response. It was on approximately April 9th of 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for three substantiated violations. Ms. Gwynn is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
Thank you. Ms. Gwynn, how long have you been the administrator or the manager of record for this facility?
Since 2006.
Since 2006, so it'd be safe to say that this was your survey. How large of a facility?
It's a license for 10.
License for 10. And how often are you there?
I'm there pretty much every week, about anywhere between 20 and 40 hours.
Each week?
Each week, yeah.
So can you explain why so many deficiencies for such a small facility?
Well, for right now, I started nursing school, so it's been a little bit of a way to kind of make things work out for me in school and studying. But for the 14 deficiencies that are there, it's just to happen that way. It's not my intention to have any deficiency, it just occurred. I think even some of it were missed by the server as well.
I'm sorry, you think some of the deficiencies were missed by a surveyor?
Yeah, so for example, like the, for the menus and activities. Like, I had this ready, and it was just placed behind. The way I have it placed, like, I usually print it out, like, about 2 to 4 weeks in advance, but I noticed it was there. She seemed too busy to, like...
Where do you place them?
So I have, like, it's in the kitchen. It's posted there. But the door of one of the room kind of shuts open, so if you leave it open, it kind of covers it. So that's what she was referring, like, well, it's not posted properly.
Do you have a better place to post it?
We changed it closer to the kitchen counter now, so we have a stand thing that now the residents can actually go by and see it without having to shut the door and try to look at it.
Do you do the hiring for your facility?
I do, yeah.
Do you normally do all the records?
I do all the records, yeah.
Okay, so why was there two employees that didn't have personnel files?
Those are not employees. What those were they were contracted cleaning services. So we have somebody that comes in early in the morning to wash the sheets, make the beds, clean the bathrooms. I mean, and after lunch, they start again, cleaning again. I mean, there's 10 toilets that we have to clean. There's 10 showers that we have to keep the house from smelling. And
do you have your contract with those individuals, and do you have all the necessary paperwork on them?
I don't have a contract with them. I mean, that's something kind of like the sprinkler guy comes once every year when he does a report. Do I have to have a contract with him too? I mean, that was the same thing with the cleaning service.
So the cleaning service is in your facility, you say daily. Is that correct?
They come a couple of times a week.
A couple times a week.
I mean, they're not there anymore because of the deficiency, and we kind of quit doing that since February the 6th. So we quit doing that, trying to just keep that more simple. So we definitely quit hiring the cleaning services. We just required our caregivers to do the cleaning now, which is a lot harder. It's not as
well, the board's not here to tell you, you know, how to operate your facility or who you can hire or not hire. There's just certain documentation that you would have to have at the facility or prove to the state that they're contracted employees.
Well, and for policy.
And for the contracted employees, there's certain documentation that you would need from them. That was just my question.
Can I say just one more thing? So those people were considered employee. I do have TVs for them, for both of them, because that's what the requirement is for them to come to your facility if they spend time around the house. Then we do have TVs for them. I mean, I thought that was the requirement, even for a policy, that's if they're a service.
And so would the you told that to the surveyor, that they were just there to clean, is that correct?
Yeah.
Would the surveyor have had any possibility of seeing them in direct contact with the residents? Does that happen or did it happen?
I don't know where she got the idea. I don't know. I know what she did was close the door to the room, talk to the residents. So, I mean,
were you present at the time of the survey?
I was present, yeah.
Would the residents have said that those two cleaners help them stand up?
I'm assuming because we have, if somebody drops the remote control, say, can you hand me that remote control? Like, go ahead and
handing the remote control is very different than helping somebody transfer.
That's why I don't know. That's why I said, well, we're just gonna quit. So I see your point on that. I said, we're just gonna quit hiring, you know, cleaning service because that could be
misconstrued.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So for right now, we expect the caregivers to do that, and we hire them based on the policy and the requirement of the health department personnel.
So you're in nursing school,
yes,
right now?
Yeah.
So how often are you in this facility? because I'm wondering if that would answer the question as to why there were so many deficiencies.
But that does answer the question, yeah.
So what are you doing differently?
Right now, I've actually hired another manager, process of training. He's going to finish probably in another 4 weeks. And so he'll take over.
And
I'll
just
be present as well. My mom is going to be her daughter. And so my brother will take over while I'm in school. So he is in process of finishing that, I think, over 4 weeks.
A certified manager course through this
yeah,
board?
Yeah. So he's been with the facility as a caregiver since I was there.
Simply because, you know, the mission of the board is just to ensure the health and safety of those
yeah,
who are in your home,
yeah,
right?
I mean, that's our intention, too. We just want to keep everybody safe and healthy, and especially this time, it's not our intention to hurt anybody, or we're there to help them.
Any other questions? Yes, Susan. Or recommendations?
Are you doing the disaster drills?
I am, yeah. So that was that one, what I did usually, just to explain, so there's like between 6 and 8 employees. So what I do to make it simple, I call the night shift. So I try to do it at a time when the night shift and the day shift is there to do it all at once. So I don't know if that's
they
how
don't.
People do that, but I did quiz do that.
Okay,
so,
so now
separate.
What do you do?
I do the night shift and the day shift separately. Disaster drill and fire drill. Disaster drill.
Evacuation.
And evacuation drill, yeah. That's the one.
Every how often? How
every
often are you evacuating?
Every 3 months, every 6 months with the residents and the caregivers. And every 3 months, just the caregivers as a routine.
Okay.
Any other questions? I think that, you know, you've got a plan in place. Was this your first survey like this?
Yeah, I didn't know how this goes. I'm surprised. This is happening. But I can't report.
It is.
It is, yeah.
So you have plans in place. You've got a manager in training that's going to take over while you're in nursing school.
Yeah.
You've solved the issue with your housekeeping department not having
yeah.
records.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that anymore.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion. I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 20-74 against manager Kuda Gwynn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Charles and Susan.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Good luck to you.
Good luck in school.
Yes. All right, next up, case number 20-7. Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead. Case number 20-77 involving Hugh Quan Marshall. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning.
Okay, Phil, if you could outline this case for us when you're ready.
Sure. This is complaint 20-77. Licensee is Hugh Kyung Marshall, who's present here today. And on March 11th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at My New Home 2,
yes.
Located in Tempe. The compliance inspection identified 13 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeats. Ms. Marshall was noticed of the complaint, and a written response was provided. On approximately May 22, 2020, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 3 substantiated repeat violations. And Ms. Marshall is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Okay, thank you. Can everyone on the line please mute your phone lines? There's a lot of background noise coming into the board meeting. Thank you. Okay, Mrs. Marshall, why the repeat deficiencies? The ones that got you here were the repeat deficiencies, not updating your policy and procedures, or even signing off on those at least every 3 years or as needed. Medication being not locked behind a locked cabinet or room. And then the one is the garbage, not having a cover on it.
Okay, first one is for the manager. We did it 3 years ago, but it wasn't correct. So we tried to do, like actually we did a couple other times, but the inspector looked at it, it wasn't the correct one. And so we have to do another one this time. And then we have to go through the Department of Health for the what kind of things has to be in for the policy and procedures. So we have to do complete it. And then some of them is not even specific about, so we have to add more stuff in specific.
Okay. How long have you been the manager for this facility?
Since 2005.
2005. How large is it?
It's 10 restroom rooms.
Okay. So what are you doing differently with your medication, making sure that it's locked?
Yeah, medication, we really do carefully that medication was the wiping resident cleaning supply. One of my caregivers, she just used them and she just left there. And then we have a car. And then the other one is in my room. And then she said, well, let me look at it. You know, it's not locked. So she looked at it and then she saw one of the chemicals was in there.
So in your room, so is what you just stated, right?
Yeah, so I have lots in there.
So it's safe to assume that you live there?
Yeah, I live there, yeah.
Okay. So you had medications at your bedside, but the door was open?
Yeah, when I showed up.
And so what are you doing now instead?
So now I have locks in my room.
And you keep your door locked when you're not
there? Yeah, I'm not there, I lock my door. And then the restroom, the supply for cleaning, that was out. And so I make sure that should be put away, by the way, for cleaning for when the resident have, you know, what is something, and is the right washing mess. Has a chemical content in there, so we have to lock that.
Okay. Did you update your policy and procedures?
Yes, we did.
Did you send that to the surveyor with your plan of correction?
Yes.
And they said that that was good now?
I don't know, but we did send the policy and procedures.
Did they send you back saying that they accepted your plan of correction? Like everything's okay?
I don't know, we don't hear. Because it was kind of a problem when you send it. And for some reason they can receive it, so we have to resend it again. Then we have to send it through the some region about somebody in secretary or something. Who does the desk work?
Oh.
Yeah, so we have to send it through her, then she has to send it through that.
There's a lot of background noise. We can hear your conversation. Please mute your telephones. I'll remind you that these are recorded meetings, so whatever you say on the phone is being recorded. Please mute your lines. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So if the Department of Health Services didn't say anything, I guess we can think that your policy and procedure is okay now.
Yes, we updated everything.
And what are you doing with your trash cans?
A trash container. Like I said, I did manage for since 2005, and I didn't know that. I told the inspector I didn't know because it never other inspector comes in, never unless they're like open area, other than personal use, like residence room, I don't have to be covered.
Was this in a residence room?
Yes, but she said no, whole facility, inside and outside, residence room, you have to have covered. So we, my brother ordered there like 15 of them, some small ones. Well, it was, we have covers on them, but, you know, that for outside, the common areas.
You have only trash cans with lids?
No, yes, even resident. And I asked her, I said, you know, one of the guy is paralyzed one side, and then it's hard for him to open them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but still have to have this, so one would have, you know, the back and forth.
The swing lid, yep.
Yeah, swing lid. So, yeah, we order like.
Somebody who can't walk, can't step on the thing to make the lid pop open.
Yeah, so we order those.
So you got a swing lid, that's good.
Yeah, for rest.
Okay, all right.
Are you the manager?
Yeah, I'm not.
She's manager.
I'm a manager, but I do not put on my manager license in the temp room, but I have a manager license.
Can you step up to the mic, please? Is this your?
My brother.
That's your brother?
Yeah.
Can you identify yourself for the record, please? Can you identify yourself for the record?
Your name.
My name is Peter Kim.
Can you spell that?
P-E-T-E-R, last name K-I-M. Actually, I have some frustrating about the surveyors. Whenever the surveyor comes, different. The rules are different. So we try to listen to one surveyor. Next year, surveyor is different rules they apply to our
facilities. Okay. I'm
going to
stop you right there. And yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Different surveyors look at different things, and I think it seems like every year they look at different things. The bottom line is all the rules are still all of the rules, no matter what year it is and no matter what surveyor it is. So sometimes they look for a whole bunch of environmental things, sometimes they look for a bunch of paperwork, sometimes they look at all the policy and procedures. So as frustrating as that is, and I understand that too, the rules are still the rules and have to be complied with every day, every year, forever.
No matter who your surveyor is.
No matter who your surveyor is. So you can be frustrated all you want, and that doesn't change any of this.
And just for the record, whose certification is hung on the wall? Yours. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. So we're dealing with you today.
Okay.
So my question to you is, what have you done differently to ensure this board that you will not be coming back here because of a repeat deficiency that's been identified?
Well, first of all, that we're confused about the policy and procedures, but now we know, so we are going to update it at least every 3 years. But whatever comes on ADHS, whatever is changing, especially COVID-19 right now, mm-hmm. COVID-19, so we're going to look at that. If there's a rule change, then we will apply immediately.
So did you write a new policy and procedure for the COVID?
Yes. Oh, completely.
Policy
completely.
And procedure for
if
people can come into your house or not, and all of the sort of scanning people?
Yeah,
okay.
We're scanning.
So you wrote that
right
yourself?
Now, everybody. Yeah, anybody comes in, they can come in unless we ask a question outside, and then they check the temperature, and then
And so now, to make sure you know all of the rules, where do you go look?
Oh, yes.
Where?
ADHS, yes,
okay.
For rules.
Okay.
Before I have, see, I'm the only Korean, actually, seems like I have a camp. So if there's an issue, I can ask anybody, nobody tell us, you know, because they're like different country people, they don't want to, you know, tell you. So I asked the surveyor, I said, if there is an issue I don't understand, can I ask him? She said, no, I cannot tell you. So then I go, you know what, I'm the only Koreans actually have a care home, and I would like to know some of the things to make sure that is that.
So when should you ask somebody a question? At the time of survey?
What time of survey? I asked.
Before survey.
What time of survey? And I.
If you're asking the question of something you should be doing,
yeah,
maybe ask before, because a surveyor can't help you fix something while you're in the middle of a survey.
No, I asked her, I say, you know, there's some issues before and I want to find that out, but I don't know to return to normally like a few or third of, you know, the Filipino friends, they help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or like your, you know, it depends on the group.
So for those, I would refer you back to DHS. For today, we're talking about what got you here today, right?
Okay.
So on these, you know, it sounds like you've got some systems in place. You know, you fixed the garbage can issues. You've got your room now locked. So even though that the surveyor is saying that it was found at a resident's bedside and it was used as a cream
that
top
was a,
cream.
Yeah, resident's bedside.
Yeah. And you're updating your policies and procedures at least every 3 years or as you add a new policy. Are there any other questions from any other board member?
I'm going to give us a letter.
Are you making a motion, Member Archer?
Sure. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 20-77 against Kong Marshall, but issue a letter of concern. Board's concern is keeping up to date with current rules.
Manager failed to have updated policy.
Updated policy and procedures.
Okay. Second. Roll call.
You were the second?
Yes.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Next up, item number 16, involving manager Catherine Sardell.
Sardell.
Thank you. Step forward, please. Okay, Phil, if you could help me with this, please.
So this is complaint 20-70, licensee Catherine Sardello, who is present here today. And on March 11, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Living Waters Care Home located in Glendale. Compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Sardella was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. It was on approximately April 29, 2020, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation, and Ms. Sardella is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Okay. So that we know who's present, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Marlon Sardell, I'm Catherine's husband, and I'm also a designated manager for the functional facility, Living Water.
Okay. And the last name spelled the same, just for the record.
Yes, S-A-R-D-E-L-L-A.
Okay, thank you so much. Mrs. Sardella, how long have you been the manager of this facility?
About a year, April 2019, I started.
April of 2019? Okay, and your survey was in March of 2011, so it'd be safe to say that this was your survey?
Yes.
Okay.
2011, 2019.
The one item that really got you here was the fact that there was no one present that's a certified caregiver or manager for 8 residents when the survey occurred. Were you present for the survey?
Yes, I was. We were en route. We were scheduled to be there about 7 o'clock every morning. We have a live-in certified caregiver that was off, and we were en route when the surveyor came
I believe came in at 9 o'clock. We got there at 9:30.
You got there at 9:30 and you're normally there at 7?
Yeah, between 7 to 8 we're normally there.
Okay, so how was it that these residents were left alone with no one present?
There was somebody there. She's a live-in. There's two caregivers. One, it was her day off, so she lives there. It was her day off. And the caregiver that was cited, or the citation that I received, is due to the fact that the caregiver I had present working is an assisted caregiver, and the scheduling is not for us to be there. We were late.
So if the assistant caregiver is working, what does the rule say for an assistant caregiver?
Is to have somebody with them at all times.
So they have to be under direct supervision, right?
Yes.
Was she under direct supervision?
At that moment, it was, because the caregiver that had a day off took, she's normally supposed to be off when we got there. So when the caregiver started, when the DHS came in, the caregiver that was living in was not in the area.
Was she already gone?
No, she was inside the room.
She was in her room?
Yeah.
But she wasn't doing direct supervision. Had you already done the skills checklist? Was this assistant caregiver?
Yes, so we rectify that by making sure that there's no lapse in terms of always have somebody with them.
Right, but prior to her giving any care to any resident, even under direct supervision, did you double check her skills that she could do the items that you were asking?
Yes.
Transferring a resident, cleaning a resident, providing ADLs, feeding, all of that. You had a checklist that she already had all of those done?
Yes, that's part of the employee application process.
Their application process or their orientation?
It's part of the application orientation process.
Okay.
We do it together. And so was there a time lapse? What time did you got there a little after 9. What time did the live-in caregiver go to their room? Do you think they went at 7 a.m.?
My husband will speak because he helps me do the scheduling.
Okay.
Yeah, first and foremost, totally our mistake. We accept responsibility for being late. The caregiver that was on duty normally gets off at 7 a.m. And she had never done this prior. The assistant caregiver, to correct the record, is a he, not a she. Mm-hmm. His name is Johnny Valenfield. And he had been working for about 3 weeks with this caregiver, and it was pretty much understood that he did most of the cooking, the cleaning, while she did the caregiving. Unfortunately, this was a very strange time. It was when the COVID started becoming a topic of conversation in the care homes on a daily basis, and he displayed a lot of agitation and anxiety. And when our caregiver said she wasn't feeling well and started sneezing, which after I interviewed her, she said that she had allergies. But he became very agitated, and she never left the premises. And she went out to her car, she said. She went into her room. When the surveyor was there, she was actually walking back and forth. And I explained this to the surveyor. But it didn't matter, because when she walked in, she wasn't providing direct care to the residents.
So just for the record, let me go back, because in the survey, and I'm sure you've read it, in the survey it says that they observed that the assistant was assisting with ADLs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., while the E1, who should have been supervising, was working with the surveyor from 10 to 3 in the facility, and therefore was not being supervised while providing the ADLs.
That is correct, but the caregiver left And when the surveyor saw her, that it was her ape, and she left the premises once we were there, and he continued to do the ABLs.
So that was between the hours that you guys are saying that you would have been there already. Where were you?
We were doing a survey in the house, in the residence. So I was a little confused about that because we were there.
So if both of you were there, somebody should have been watching the assistant caregiver.
Well, she was doing it, didn't it? I was kind of moving back and forth between the surgery and helping him.
Okay. Either way, I mean, it's not, especially during these times, it's difficult to get caregivers. It's, you know, first time you guys have been here, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
There were three people present during the time of the survey, both, you know, the manager designee. You had a issue with one certified caregiver.
Seems like a technicality.
Seems like a technicality, an issue of circumstance. I'm okay with the recommendation if all the other board members are okay with the recommendation. Perfect. You okay with the recommendation?
Trying to find it.
I'm good with it.
Okay. So I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 20-7 70 against manager Catherine Sardella, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to ensure at least one manager or a caregiver was present at an assisted living home providing direct oversight when a resident was on premise.
Can you repeat that?
Do you want to write it down?
It's written.
It's written.
Okay. So I'll repeat it. That the manager failed to ensure at least one manager or a caregiver was present at an assisted living home providing direct oversight when a resident was present on the premises. And Susan second.
Yes.
In other words, Phil, it was too long of a recommendation.
Hey, Phil?
Well, I think it was just fine.
There you go.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Our motion carries. Thank you for being here today. Keep up the
favor.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, next up, item number 17, complaint case number 20-79 involving manager Evelyn Ochoa. Ms. Ochoa, are you present on the line? Ms. Ochoa, are you present on the line?
No, just for your information, we don't entitle people to call in on board meetings, otherwise we don't want to get anybody talking. So.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is complaint 20-79. A licensee is Evelyn Ochoa, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. On approximately January 10, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Montebello Assisted Living 3, LLC, located in Gilbert. The compliance inspection identified 26 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Ochoa was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a response. And on approximately May 27, 2020, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $2,000 for 4 substantiated violations.
Okay, so that's a lot of deficiencies. There were 7 residents, 2 caregivers, and a volunteer. And the response, she stated that it was an oversight. They needed to be more diligent through the paperwork needed to be kept up in record keeping on their end. So she acknowledges that. I'm okay with the recommendation, if everybody else is okay with the recommendation.
That's good.
Perfect. So based on the information contained in investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610A, CR 433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 20-79 involving manager Evelyn N. Ochoa, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days with matter to be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate of state of suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $479. 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements, residency agreements, any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Charles and Susan, roll call whenever you're ready.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have case number 20-72 involving manager Maria Jessma. Ms. Jessma, are you on the line?
No.
Okay.
She won't be. This was another email I received Friday. Says she's ill and is unable to attend today's meeting, but will be providing a written response as soon as she's able to.
And there are 7 deficiencies that are all repeat deficiencies that are pretty substantial.
Do you want me to run through it?
Yes, please.
Complaint 20-72, licensee is Maria Jasmine, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. On February 13, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Streams Assisted Living Home 3, located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 11 different areas. 7 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. On June 1st of 2020, staff mailed and emailed a notice of complaint to Ms. Jasmine at her address of record. And as of the date this report was written, which was July 24th, 2020, she had not provided a written response. On approximately April 9th of 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 for 8 substantiated violations. 7 of those were repeat violations. And staff recently received an email from Ms. Jasmine stating that she was ill and would be unable to attend today's board meeting, but that she would be forwarding her written response to this notice of complaint.
So you, just so I have an understanding, you sent her something June the 1st?
Yes, the notice of complaint.
Right, so several months ago. And she's just now returning an answer to you?
Yes, I received an email the other day from her.
Okay.
I don't know what her illness is. I don't know if she's in the hospital. I don't know.
Right.
But she obviously did get the notice of complaint.
Yeah. The issue is that these are 7 repeat deficiencies. I mean, I'm ready to hear this and us make an opinion on it if all the other board members are in agreement.
We don't have any idea if her illness is COVID related.
No, she just said she was ill, whatever that means.
Okay.
The reason I say, I mean, these are in multiple different areas, you know, and we have to make sure that these residents are actually being cared for. These are all repeat deficiencies, is my concern. Molly?
I'm sorry, yes, I'm good with whatever you do.
Okay.
Me too.
All right, well, I would say that based upon the information contained in investigative report, I move the board finds sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07 B3, ARS 44610A, CR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 20-72 involving manager Maria L. Jasmine, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative cost. I'm looking for that amount. And the amount of $443. Completion of a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion. Successfully pass the state examination for managers administered by the board, and any cost of those of the probation is those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Charles.
Member Kidder, second.
Okay, Charles and Ken. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Can we take a brief recess, if
sure.
That's okay?
It is 11:30, and the board will go into recess for 10 minutes. It is now 11:40 a.m. The board is back in session. Next up on the agenda item is item number C, board review consideration action on whether open complaint investigation on items 19 and 20. Did any board member wish to open an investigation? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion not to open an investigation. Do I have a second?
Member Kidder, second.
Okay, now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item number six. Consent agenda to approve temporary administrator's license, permanent administrator's license, temporary manager certification, permanent manager certificates pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame or the license or certification will be denied. Make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you, Melanie. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item number B, individual board review consideration and action on applicants' temporary and or permanent administrator license or manager certification. If approved, pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame or the license or certification will be denied. First up, item number 22, Joseph Tyson?
Joshua, are you on
Josh
the phone?
Tyson.
Gotcha, thanks.
I am, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go over your situation. On July 8th of 2020, Mr. Tixon applied to become a permanent nursing home administrator. His application became administratively complete on July 17th of 2020. Mr. Tixon answered truthfully to the questions he had ever been charged with a criminal offense. He indicated that in 2001, he worked at a video rental store. He had begun taking merchandise from the store, such as drinks, candy, DVDs, and gift certificates. In 2002, the store became aware of the theft and he was charged with a misdemeanor theft. He paid the store back for the items that he took and the case was dismissed. A few years later, his record was expunged. Mr. Tixon has a current fingerprint clearance card and he passed the August administrator's exam.
Perfect. Mr. Tixon, if you were granted administrator's license, what will you do with it?
I'm anxious to begin, I've been working with the end member and our mission is to dignify long-term care.
I didn't understand that.
Would you repeat that?
Sure. Can you hear me better?
Somewhat, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So yeah, I'm just completing my AIT program with the Enzyme Group, and I'm on board. Our mission is to dignify long-term care. I'm excited to become a nursing home administrator there and help.
Okay, and have you had any other issues with law enforcement?
No.
Okay. Any other questions from any other board member? Make a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Pending passing all.
I said that already.
Second.
Okay. Charles and Susan?
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up is item number 23. Permanent manager certification for Jennifer Cota.
Jennifer, are you on the phone?
Yes, present.
Okay. So this is Jennifer Cota on May 16th of 2020. She applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on July 8th of 2020. Ms. Cota did not answer truthfully to the question if she'd ever been criminally charged, although she did address her criminal issue in another section of the application. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been denied a fingerprint clearance card. In 2005, she was charged with assault, misdemeanor, and criminal damage. Ms. Cota indicated that in 2005, she got into an altercation with her husband over their church membership. She was later arrested and charged. The court ordered her to pay fines, complete 1 year probation, and attend domestic violence counseling. She has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she passed the August manager's exam.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Cota, if you're granted a certification, what will you do with it?
I would hopefully down the line, after having some manager trainee and becoming an administrator, maybe in a 5-year plan, start and own my own home as well.
Perfect. You have not had any other run-ins with the law enforcement or anything of that nature, right?
No.
Okay. Any other questions from board member? Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles and Susan. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Good luck to you. Next up is item number 24, permanent manager certification, Georgiana Mendez.
Georgiana, are you on the phone?
I am.
Okay, thank you. On March 16th of 2020, Ms. Georgiana Mendez applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on July 20th of 2020. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been charged with a criminal offense. She indicated that in August of 2018, she drove home after drinking and she was charged with 4 different counts. The 3 counts of DUI liquor, BAC 0.08 or more, the second DUI extreme BAC, the third failure to stop at a scene, damage to attend the vehicle. Those 3 were dismissed, and she pled guilty to 1 count of DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors. She was placed on 11 months of unsupervised probation, paid fines, completed 40 hours of community service, attended a victim impact panel, and attended counseling services.
Her probation ended in March of 2020. Ms. Mendez has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she passed the August manager's exam.
Thank you. Ms. Mendez, number one, thank you for answering truthfully on your application to become a manager. Usually we see people that don't answer truthfully, so thank you for that. Have you had any other issues with police or anything dealing with?
No.
Okay. What would you do with your certificate?
No, never before or never since. I would like to find myself employed at an assisted living community somewhere in the Phoenix or Prescott area.
Any questions from any board member? No?
No.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles, Susan, roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Next up, item number 25, permanent manager certification. Ortega Amador?
Amador, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. On June 16th of 2020, Mr. Amador Ortega applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. His application became administratively complete on July 8th of 2020. He answered truthfully to the question if he had ever been charged with a criminal offense and if he had had a criminal record expunged. In May of 2012, Mr. Ortega was drinking underage during an outing. He received a charge of under 21 years of age with liquor in the body. He pled guilty, paid fines, and later had this charge set aside in 2015. He has a current fingerprint clearance card, and he passed the August manager's exam.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ortega, you have had no issues with law enforcement since this incident?
Correct.
And what would you do if you were granted a certification, sir?
I hope that our organization will be growing, and I hope to hopefully become a successful nursing home or assisted living administrator with our organization.
What organization are you with?
The Inland Group.
All right, any other questions from any board member? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Good luck to you, sir. Number 26, there's nothing listed. Number 27 is permanent manager certification for Brandon Williams. Mr. Williams, are you on the line? Mr. Williams, are you on the line?
I am here, sir.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I am here, sir.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm going back here and read your memo. On June 12th of 2020, Mr. Brandon Williams applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. His application became administratively complete on July 8th of 2020. He answered truthfully to the question if he had ever been charged with a criminal offense. In October of 2013, he indicated that he got into a verbal altercation with his spouse. This led to charges of criminal damage and disorderly conduct fighting. He was ordered to attend domestic violence prevention classes. This case has since been dismissed. He has a current fingerprint clearance card, and he passed the August manager's exam.
Okay, so he was truthful on the answer, and the case has been dismissed.
Yes.
And so, Mr. Brandon, what are you going to do with your certification if we grant you one?
I've been a nurse for 20 years, and it is a passion of mine to lead an organization, and I hope to be able to continue that as I just completed my bachelor's in healthcare administration. and just need to move forward as an administrator to get back to the student community.
Perfect. Any other questions from any other board member? Hearing none, I will make a motion to grant.
Second.
Member Bielefranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Next up is item number 7, consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewals of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. I make a motion to approve all that are listed in item number 28.
Second.
Charles and Susan.
Member Bielefranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is other business items. New business board may review, consider, take action. Number 29, conflict of interest policy and procedure.
Yeah, this policy and procedure was one of the recommendations by the Auditor General that we implement. And this is what I put together, and also the form that needs to be signed annually by each of the members, identifying any conflict of interest that they may have. So it needs to be reviewed annually with training on conflict annually as well. So it's something that recommendation, and which we're hopefully approved in, we would be implementing.
Okay. Yeah, to keep us in compliance, so. Mm-hmm.
And can you just sort of briefly outline what types of things would be considered conflict of interest?
It's outlined in the policy, everything.
Yeah.
If you need more information, I can provide that later, but any substantial interest.
And I know that, I believe, you know, when we come on, we go through that with mm-hmm. the AG's office.
Correct.
Brief. Yeah.
Correct.
So do you need me to make a motion to approve?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion to approve the conflict of interest policy and procedure as set forth.
Second.
Charles and Susan, roll call.
Member Bielefranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the reimbursement of investigative costs policy and procedure.
Now, this is the policy and procedure. We previously approved the methodology that was included, and that's why you're getting the numbers you are now on the reimbursements. This is just the policy and procedure on how that will be implemented and what type of cases it would be implemented on.
And again, this goes back to the AG's?
The Auditor General's report as a recommendation for us to do.
The OIG?
Yes.
Any questions on this from any board member?
A simple question. I see the tally of the various hours and amounts. Will it continue to be like a odd number versus like anything between here and here would be $250 as a reimbursement charge, and anything between here and here might be $500?
No.
It's going to be set
each time, a different amount depending on the amount of time that was taken.
I think those were part of that.
Was the methodology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Charles and Susan.
Member Bielefranca?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder? Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, thanks. That brings us to item number 9, administrative matters, financial report.
Okay, I sent you a couple of different ones. One was the one from, which ones did I send you? The last one I sent you was what they call a 13th month report, which is all those charges that weren't captured in July, but they referred back to the FY20. And part, most of that was all revenue. We had an increase of, from our last report, of $10,709 in adjustments upward into our fund, leaving us a ending balance as of, this would have been FY20, which would have been June 30th, of $443,540, which is about $10,000 more than what we had figured, or projected. Expense-wise, there weren't any adjustments to the FY20 financial report.
So we made it $10,000 above. Right.
I think I included the FY21 budget as well. So that's what we're going to be working off starting July 1st.
Okay. All right. Complaint status report?
Well, we resolved 13 of the 14 complaints today, or 14 matters, and one was deferred till next month. Next month's agenda's got, I think after today, I'll have 10 already done and ready for next month. CDHS is not taking as many enforcement actions in recent months as a result of the COVID, so I would anticipate the number of cases may be reduced a little bit until this virus passes. That gives us time to get caught up and be pretty up to date with everything. So we're doing real well.
Yeah, I know on my last inspection, it was the COVID inspection, I asked that question. And I was told by a surveyor that they had been instructed that they were just doing the COVID inspections every 2 to 3 months, and that's it.
Yeah, I've noticed quite a few of those when I'm checking various facilities, seeing that DHS has gone out and done, they don't call them COVID inspections, they call it some infection control,
yeah,
something or other. But
oh, it's an infection control.
Yeah, so yeah, that will really apply to us.
Thank you. Licensing report?
For our assisted living facility managers, the count is 2,251, with 22 of them being temporary and 16 of those being inactive. For our administrators, we currently have 291, 4 of those going temporaries and 19 are inactive.
So last time we met, we had 91, I think, that were nursing home administrators. Did any of those renew?
We did. There were 70. We had 70 this last that did not renew, and the renewal period's over at this point. But there were 70 that did not renew out of the 368 or 370.
Wow. Okay. Legislative update.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. I'm wondering if that's because COVID.
A lot of people retired.
Something that hasn't happened.
Legislative updates.
Legislative updates. There aren't any. The session's going to be starting here in January of this year. Until then, there's nothing. We will be going through the legislative process this time for our sunset review. So we'll be starting that. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee will meet prior to the legislative session. I'll be presenting there.
Do you know when that's going to be?
Don't.
But just sometime in the near future?
Yeah.
I'm assuming probably in February?
October, November.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
All right, rules update?
Rules update are, the last rule package went through on July 7th, so that one's in effect. That's the one we're the DCWs were allowing in by taking the medication management exam as well as CNAs and LNAs. That's passed. We put together, I spent the last couple weeks doing question reviews on the medication, new medication management exam. So we went through a couple thousand questions with about 14 different people from training programs, put it together. And we came up with about 550 questions in the bank. So we're able to put together a medication management exam now. And there'll be 9 areas, 7 questions in each of those areas. The areas being medication administration, safety, controlled substances, rules and regulations. I can't remember them all. But
so is this different than the one that DNS
kind of does? DNS will be doing this one. Okay. We're just swapping out the exams from the current knowledge exam that covers all the modules to the medication management because of the legislation and rules we had to write on it.
Be interesting to see what the outcomes are on their past weeks.
Yeah, so anybody going through, whether they're a caregiver without any experience or a DCW or CNA going through it, everybody will have to take that manager exam or the medication exam.
As,
so,
as a separate exam?
It will be ongoing.
Okay.
It'll be what's going to happen as far as the training programs. They'll be doing the modular knowledge exams like they're doing now. That's going to be done in-house with the programs. The final examination with DNS now is going to be the medication management, and we'll be starting that. We need to notify all the training programs to make sure they have time to prepare for it. So we're looking probably on mid-September or 1st of October that we'll actually switch over to that medication management exam as the final exam.
So is that part of your training program report?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then,
and it's also on rules too.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it was the rules.
And the training program report.
Let me go back to rules.
Oh,
there's one more thing. Because we had the legislation passed on the job training, we will be having to do rules on that particular program. I put in a request to the governor's office for the exception, which we have to have before we start on them. But so as soon as I hear back from them, we'll start working on those.
Okay.
Just some
training programs.
We have 51 caregiver training programs right now. This last year, first time test takers, there were 2,682 with an 80% pass rate. As far as some of the on-the-job training stats, if you look at the sheet that I presented, if they start with a 1 instead of a 0, the 1s are the on-the-job training. So you can take a look at their stats. some of them are doing okay. Some of them struggle a little bit, but I think there's 29 on-the-job training programs right now under the temporary, under the executive order that we have. There, as far as manager training, there's 14 programs. There were 431 that tested first time this last year with a 79% pass rate.
So you said the ones that start with a 1, mm-hmm, like on the job keyword, that's a on-the-job training?
If that
it
would
starts
be
with a 1?
Correct.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see what their rates are.
Right.
If they're, yeah,
if they're comparable to what the current,
okay,
training is.
Next up is the board meeting critique. I think we do fine. It's difficult to do it over the phone, but
Thank you all for joining us via the phone, Susan for being here, and board staff for making this happen. We've accomplished everything we needed to, and it's 12:08, which brings me to the next thing. If any other board member has anything to add, okay, then I'll go to the next regular board meeting. Will be held Monday, September the 14th, 2020 at 1740 West Adams, board meeting room C, Phoenix, Arizona, at 9 a.m. The time is 12:09, and the board stands adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.